Greetings to you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's my privilege to be with the saints over here and worship our Lord together. As you have introduced, I'm coming from India and I'm serving the Lord in Kerala. And it's my joy to be here and to meet the brethren here. And also praising God for the opportunity that the Lord has given me to minister from God's word in this morning time. Let's depend on God as we have sung the song this morning. And praise God for the life that He has given us on this earth. I know a very few of you here, and I'm so glad to meet you all in this morning. I was born and brought up in a Roman Catholic family in 2002. God has given me the opportunity to trust Him. And we as family, we have come to know the Lord. And since 2012, I got the call from the Lord for the ministry. And since 2018 onwards, I'm in the ministry along with my local assembly. Do remember me in your prayers. And I do involve in different ministries that the Lord has given. And these years, I'm involved in a Bible school, which is an online Bible school. In our language, in Malayalam language. It's an online. So if anyone of you would like to join to study that school, you are free to join. And may the Lord bless us all together this morning as we meditate on the word of God. Would you like to turn with me to one of the very familiar passages in the New Testament? That's Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 5. In chapter 11 of Hebrews, there we read and see the heroes of faith who have lived a life that was based on faith, who did the great things for the Lord. And in verse 5, there we read a very familiar person. In verse 5, we read, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him for, before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. You know, Enoch is a person who we read in the Old Testament about the person who walked with God for 300 long years. But when we come to the New Testament, we don't read that, but rather we read Enoch, the Holy Spirit has mentioned about Enoch in a different way. And if you read chapter 11, there we read different people who walked with God or who lived a life for the Lord, but all of them had different testimony that from God. But before we come to this verse, I would like to turn your attention to the life of Enoch that we see in the Old Testament. As I have mentioned, we don't read in the New Testament in Hebrews that Enoch walked with God. But different thing is mentioned here. Doesn't mean that he didn't walk. He walked with God when the whole world, they were working against God. He was the person who walked with God. So I would like to bring a few spiritual truths about him. From the Old Testament, in Genesis chapter 5 there, that he walked with God. It's not mentioned in the Bible that God walked with Enoch. Rather, it's mentioned Enoch walked with God. The most times, we always want God to walk with us. That's why we pray when we depart to somewhere, we pray, God, you be with us. And there is nothing wrong in praying that prayer. But still, in the New Testament believers, we know that our God is always with us. And our God is an Emmanuel. And he's Emmanuel, so he's always with us. But it's not necessary to pray, God, you be with us. He's always with us. But the question that we need to ask ourselves, am I walking with God? It is true that God is with us and God is walking with us. But for us, we need to ask ourselves, am I with God? Am I walking with God? Am I walking based on the word of God? And another thing that we can note from the life of Enoch, that he was taken up without seeing death. We know there are only two people in the Old Testament who did not see death in their lives. And one of them was Enoch. Enoch did not see the death in his life. And as we worship the Lord in this morning time, we all have a hope that our Lord Jesus, who died on the cross, who was buried, and on the third day he rose up from the dead, and he ascended to heaven. And the hope that we have in the Lord, that our Lord is going to come and take us with him. And we do not know the time the Lord is going to come. And if our Lord comes in this moment, we know that we who are alive today, we all will be taken up without seeing death, and we will be with the Lord What a glorious hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's come back to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5. Here we read, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And the end of that verse says, he had this testimony. I'm reading from King James Version. There we read, he had this testimony. We all have testimonies. We all share testimonies. That's good to share how the Lord has led us in the past. Now we have a lot more to say. Now each day when we come together or when we meet together, we all have something to say. The last day, the last week, the Lord has led us. He has shown us his grace and he has led us graciously and mercifully. And here we read, he had this testimony. This is a testimony not of a human testimony, but rather God himself is giving the testimony to Enoch. And what is that testimony? That's what we are going to look in this morning time as we spend some time together in the Word. What is a testimony that Enoch received, or what testimony that God gave him? That's what more important. We all have something to say about someone, or we have something to say how the Lord has led us, how we have accomplished things for the Lord. But more important testimony is what the Lord gives us about our life. Look at the testimony that God gave to Enoch here. The testimony that he had, the last word, the last part of this verse there we read, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Not that he walked with God for 300 years. It's not mentioned that he was a person who lived a separate life for the Lord. No, that's not mentioned in the New Testament. But the Holy Spirit has mentioned only one thing here. He had this testimony, this particular testimony that he pleased God. It's true that he walked with God. It's true that he lived a holy life. It's true that he was living a life that was worthy for the Lord. But all that he had done for the Lord, there was only one purpose in his mind, that was to please God. There was nothing else. Why did he walk with God when all other people were not? The intention of his heart was, I want to please God. My intention. My dear brother and sister, as we have worshipped our Lord in this morning time, what was the intention of our heart when we worshipped our Lord? What was the intention of our heart when we sang a song? What was the intention when I preached the word? What teach the word? What's the intention? Why we come to the church? Is it not to please God? If it is not to please God, all that we do in vain. So we have to ask ourselves in this morning, What's the purpose of our life? Why do we do the things? Why do we do the things for the Lord? It's true. We all are involved in different ministries and do involved and we do the things for the Lord. But is it to impress the people or is it to please the Lord? That's a question that we need to ask ourselves. If it is not to please God, then we have to examine our lives. We have to do the things in a way that pleases the Lord. Sometimes some people say, brother, it is easy to talk about Enoch, that he pleased God. But no, we have to focus on the Lord. That's true. Our ultimate purpose, our ultimate example for us to follow is the Lord Jesus Christ. We have many examples in the Bible. We have many characters in the Bible whom do we can learn a lot of lessons. But indeed, our ultimate example for us to follow in this world is the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17, which is again a very familiar verse for us. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, there we read, after the baptism, we see that, we read there that heaven opened and there came a voice out of heaven and saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So that's a testimony that Jesus received from the Father. So that's a testimony that we all should have. If you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, again, a very familiar passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, there we read the history, or there mentions the history of the people of Israel. And if you come to verse 1, there we read, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, And it all drink the spirit, same spiritual drink. So the word, I hope you have noticed, the word all is repeated 5 times. All passed through the sea. All were baptized. All ate the same spiritual food. All drank the same spiritual drink. All. But when we come to verse 5, there we read, but in many of them, God was not well pleased. Now, all of them, all the people of Israel enjoyed all the blessings of the Lord, but God was not pleased with all of them. That's the same thing, that's the same warning that the Lord gives us in this morning too. We have all come to worship our Lord. We have all sang the songs. We all sit together. We all sit together to praise our God. But the truth is that not in all of us, God is pleased. But one thing we can make sure, the worship that I do for the Lord, the praise that I give to the Lord, the song that I sing to the Lord, that should please the Lord. That should give the smile on the face of God when I do the things for the Lord. May the Lord help us to give that. May the Lord help us to do the things for the Lord in that, with that intention. In Hebrews chapter 12, again, when we read in Hebrews chapter 12, the second last verse of that chapter, in verse 28, that we read, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. In verse 28, that we read, we are going to receive a kingdom which is not shaken, which cannot be shaken. We are all going to be with the Lord, the place where we are going to be, which cannot be shaken. But we are living in a world which is shaken. But then we read, since we are all going to receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us serve the Lord in order to please Him. That's the exact word mentioned. Acceptably. To please Him. That's the whole purpose of our life. May the Lord help us to do that. So the testimony that Enoch received here, he pleased God. And when did he please God? That's what we read again in verse 5 of Hebrews chapter 11. When did he please God? In the last part of that verse is, for before his translation, he had this testimony. Many people would like to think in this way that not before he was taken, but after he's taken. No. Scripture makes it very clear, before he's taken. Now, I have seen the people who say to me, brother, the desire of my life is that when I die, there should some people come around me and say good things about my life. So there should be some good testimonies I should hear. They should be shared during my funeral. Even in India, in Kerala, our place, sometimes when some funerals goes on, some people would come and would share some things about the person who died. Maybe the people, they may have never seen this person, still they share the testimonies about him. That's the funny things happen there sometimes. So that's what some people think also. So all the good things that we are going to hear is only after we die or after we're taken up. Nothing before. That's not the scripture saying. That's not the Bible says. When should we please God? The mention, you know, gives us example here that before his translation, before he was taken up, he had this testimony. That means while we are on this earth itself, we do not know when we are going to die, and we do not know when our Lord is going to come. So today is a day that we should please God. We do not know next Sunday we will be here to worship our Lord. We do not know. But the only thing, one thing we can make sure that whatever I do today, that should please our Lord. That should please my Lord. May the Lord help us. And a few years ago, a young brother came and said, brother, it is very easy for you to talk about the Old Testament saints, even the New Testament saints, too, because those people, they could live a spiritual life because they were not living in the 21st century. They were not living in the digital era which we live. The temptation that we go through, they did not. So for them, this world is not spiritual. If you also think the same way, I want you to read chapter 11 of Hebrews and verse 38, the first part of that verse, of whom the world was not worthy. In verse 38 that we read, if you say, for Enoch, this world was good to live a spiritual life, then Enoch would say, for me, this world was not worthy. Abraham would say the same thing. Moses would say the same thing. For all the people who live for the Lord, for all of them, this world is not worthy. Even for us, it's not worthy. And I want you to think about the time when Enoch lived. Enoch lived in a time when there was no Bible. There was no Bible in the, given when Enoch was living. There was no church in the Old Testament. There was no gathering. There was no worship meeting. There were no elders, no evangelists, no Bible teaching. No church gathering, no conferences. And today, no, when these things were not there, still he pleased God. And today we all have the blessings which Enoch did not have. We have the 66 books of the Bible, the complete word of God in our hands. We are in the church and we have the continuous indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us. We have conferences, we have Bible studies, we have gatherings, we have elders, we have Bible teachers, we have many spiritual blessings that we enjoy, which Enoch did not have, which the Old Testament saints did not have. And if so, how much more do we need to please our God? How much more we are accountable to God? How much more we should spend time in thinking and pleasing our God? So may the Lord help us. Let me come to the another part of this testimony. The first thing that we have seen, the testimony that Enoch had, that he pleased God. And when did he receive it? He received before his translation. And the third thing that I want to note here is in verse 6. How did Enoch please God? How did Enoch receive the testimony? That's a challenging, or that's a main truth that we should look at. If Enoch could please God, how did he please God? If Enoch could receive a testimony that he pleased God, how did he receive the testimony? In verse 6, there we read the testimony. How did he receive in verse 6, which is a very, very familiar verse. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. The answer is very clear. How did Enoch please God? How did he receive the testimony? He had this testimony in verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So how did he please God? By faith, he pleased God. We know that chapter 11 of Hebrews is talking about faith. And how did Enoch please God? By faith. And what did he believe? In verse 6, there we read two things that Enoch believed on God. Two things he believed. And what are the things that we read in verse 6? Let me continue reading. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So two things that Enoch believed in order to please him. Two things Enoch believed in order to have this testimony. What are the things? First thing that he believed that he who comes to God must believe that he is. He who comes to God must believe that he is. What does that verse mean? We are the people who believe on God. We have believed on the Lord. We have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and we are saved. And that's true that we have got the qualification to please our God. And again, what does this verse mean? How do we please God then? How do I please God day by day? Here we read, he who comes to God must believe that he is how God is. He is always there. He is always watching over our lives. Otherwise, we can put it in this way. Our God is an omnipresent God. In this morning, as dear brethren were sharing the thoughts for the encouragement of the worship, we have seen that our God is an omniscient God. He knows everything. And when we come to Hebrews 11, verse 6, Enoch believed that our God is an omnipresent God. That means he is always watching over our lives. Enoch believed that. Now, we people, we know the scripture. We read the scripture. We study the scripture. We understand many things and we know many things about God. Now, if you ask to a Bible teacher, Brother Wood, can you take on the subject of the attribute of God? Then the next question that probably would they would reply, brother, what type of attribute you want me to take? You want me to take on the communicable attributes of God or the incommunicable attributes of God? We know all this. We know what to teach and what to do on where to focus on the study on the attribute of God. But the question here is not that how much you know about God, but rather how much you believe what you have known. You have known that our God is an omnipresent God. You have studied that our God is an omnipresent God. But do we believe that? If we believe, we don't do many things we do. We don't do many things that we do. Because our God is watching over our lives. The reason why we come to worship our Lord, because there is a God who is watching, who is waiting. May the Lord help us to understand that Enoch believed that our God is an omnipresent God who is always watching all our lives. That should make changes in our life. That made changes in the lives of Enoch. That changed all the perspective of his life. And all the areas of Enoch's life got changed because he knew that, believed that my God is looking at me. When the people around him would have asked him, well, why do you walk in this way? And he would have replied that my God is looking at me. I can't walk like you walk. I can't do the things as you do because my God is looking at me. I want you to know also one more thing from Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 29. The last verse of chapter 12, Hebrews. For our God is a consuming fire. A God is a consuming fire. Many people think that this verse or talking about God as a consuming fire, that's only seen in the Old Testament. Our God in the New Testament is a loving God, is a merciful God, he's a forgiving God. But many of us don't want to see our God as a consuming fire. In the New Testament, that we read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9, our God is a consuming fire. The Lord who is a loving God, the Lord who is a merciful God, the Lord who is a forgiving God, that same God is also a consuming fire. Now, we all put the Bible verses on the wall, mostly in our houses and all. But have you ever seen this verse on the wall of any of the believers? And it's true that even in my house, there is no, this verse is not kept. Because even they don't sell also, even if you don't get this verse as printed as putting on the wall, we don't get it. Because no one wants to see our God as a consuming fire. But for our believers, we should know the truth that our God is a consuming fire. We have to be careful in dealing with the matters of God. May the Lord help us to understand that. You know, sometimes I only believe that in India, we have the problem with the traffic police. When we go on the road, we have, especially in Kerala, where we live. And I do say to the people who travel by a road and who drive in Kerala, I would say a trick, how not to be caught by the police for no reason. Sometimes you would be caught. You would be asked to stop the car when you're driving. So I would say that when you drive, and that's what I do, never look at the policeman's face. If you look at them, they will ask you to stop. So what I'm trying to say, sometimes we go in a very average speed, which is not a high speed or something. But sometimes this, because we see when the police standing on the side of the road, we are much more careful. We just check whether the seatbelt is good or not. And we also, even if it is in 50 mile speed, we will reduce it to 45 or 40. Make sure not to be caught for no reason too. If we make a change just by looking at a policeman, when I came here, I understood that here also the people are very much careful about the police. And when there is a policeman or a vehicle is stopped there, then you're very much careful. That's good. If we are so careful about that, how much more we should be careful about the God who is a consuming fire, a God who is a creator, who is a judge, who knows each and everything that happens in our life. How much more we have to make changes in our lives. Look at the way we behave. Just examine the way we behave in the church hall, and at the same time in the home. Totally different. And when you come to the church, you're so spiritual. The way you speak, you have the spiritual word to use. But when you go back to home, we have to examine ourselves. And we think that when we come, no, that's why we say we come to the presence of the Lord. It's true, we come together. And we say that only God is looking at me when I'm in the church. When we have God, there is nothing. There's nothing that God is going to see. No. We have to believe that our God is a consuming fire and that God is looking at our lives. And that how much more we should be careful. May the Lord help us to understand that. And when that happens, many things will be changed in our lives. That's true. And that impacts our lives too. No, my father is going through the cancer treatment for last 2 years. And he is undergoing the chemotherapy. So I know about, most of you are aware about the treatment. I'm not very much going into that medical term of that. But I know one thing. Chemotherapy, the treatment, how does it say that it kills the cancer cells. Sometimes I think our God is a consuming fire. Now, I have not seen the people would say that, especially the cancer patient, they would never say, when the doctor say that you have to go undergo chemotherapy, they won't say, no, I don't want to go through. Now, why? Because I lose some money. No, no one would say that. I lose my hair. I have physical weakness during the days of treatment. No patient would ever say that. They would say that, okay, I'm willing to go through that. I know that there would be pain, there would be difficulties. I will have to face many complications, but still, I want to go through that because I hate sin or I hate the cancer. The same thing. Who wants to believe that our God is consuming fire? The person who hates sin as cancer. I don't want to stay with the sin. I don't want to continue in sin. I don't want to do the thing that makes God unhappy. And I want to believe that I want to live with the God who is a consuming fire, who is always looking at my life. And that should make changes in our life. That's true that many of the pleasures that we enjoy here, we cannot enjoy because our God is a consuming fire. And he is looking at our lives and we should make changes in our life. And that made Enoch to please God. Let me come to the second thing that Enoch believed on God. First thing that he believed in verse 6 that we read that he who comes to God must believe that he is. And the second thing that we read there is in verse 6 that we read, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, I'm aware of the time too. I will finish in time because I usually say a few years ago after a word ministry, when I finished the word ministry, a brother, it was in Tamil Nadu, a brother came and hugged me and said, brother, I liked your message. I was really happy to hear that. And he continued and said that, brother, I like your message because you finish in time. So I would also finish the ministry in time or before the time. So the second thing Enoch believed that our God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek. Now, when Enoch was living or walking with the God and not doing many things they were doing, the people of the world were doing, people would have asked him, Enoch, why do you walk with the Lord? And what are you going to get? And this would have been the answer of, when the questions were asked. I know one thing for sure. I believe one thing for sure. My God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek. If I walk worthy of the Lord, if I walk based on the word of God, it's true that I will have to go through a lot of sufferings, a lot of difficulties, a lot of problems. But one thing I'm sure, my God is a faithful rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Whatever I do for the Lord, there is a reward awaiting for me. Whatever I do for the Lord. Sometimes some young brothers would come to me in Kerala, in India. brother, come on, say me, brother. Now, we don't get encouragement from our church. I'm happy about here. You are much encouraged here. I appreciate that. And there was a, you know, in some churches I have seen, some brother would come and say, brother, nobody encourages us to do the things for the Lord. Or because things, though we do many things here, but no one comes and say, brother, it's a good thing that you have done for the Lord. No, nobody said. Then I will ask them to read this word. No one encourages you, no problem. Nobody appreciated you, not a problem. Read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Our God is a faithful rewarder. He will never forget. Whatever you do for the Lord, whatever you have sacrificed for the sake of God or for the gospel of God, he will reward you. So that's what the encouragement that I want to give you at the end of the sermon. Enoch believed that our God is faithful reward. And we do need to believe that. Maybe the cup of water you give to someone for the sake of gospel. Sometimes you behave with the people of this world in a very politely, with a smiling face. You know the reason? They should come to know the Lord. We have to make changes in all our activities so that maybe our colleagues or our neighbors, they all should come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. They should know the Lord and they should accept the Lord Jesus Christ. They should come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and they should accept the gospel. They should receive the gospel. There should be some changes in their lives. So we do it. Why we do that? Whatever I do for the Lord, whatever I do for the sake of the gospel, there is a reward. Our God is a faithful rewarder of those them that diligently seek. So we have seen a few truths about the life of Enoch this morning. He received a testimony from the Lord. Let's examine our lives and think, what's the testimony that God, when he looks at my lives, what's the testimony he gives? Let's examine each of our lives as we have worshipped our Lord in this morning time. The worship that I was giving to the Lord, the praises or the singing, everything that I gave to the Lord, was really, really pleasing to the Lord? Was it acceptable in the sight of the Lord? Let's examine our own lives. The way we walk in this world, the life that we live, the way we behave, the way we speak, the way we do the things. Does it please our God? Let's examine ourselves in this morning time. So the testimony that Enoch received, that he pleased God. If you take the whole life of Enoch, one testimony is given in the New Testament by the Holy Spirit that he pleased God. We do many things, but the ultimate purpose of doing everything should be pleasing God. And when did he receive? Before he was taken up. We do not know the time when our Lord is going to come. We do not know what's the last day of our lives. So let's please our God. This is the day, this is the time that the Lord has given us to please him. Let's commit ourselves in the hands of God. And how should we please our God? By faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently see him. Two things he not believe. He believed that my God is an omnipresent God who is always watching over my life. And whatever I do for the Lord, he is watching over my life. And second thing, he also believed, my God is a faithful rewarder of them that diligently seek. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you and praise you for the blessed day that you have given us to come together to worship you. What a great life that you have given to us. That's all because you have loved us and gave your only begotten Son on the cross of Calvary to save us. We have seen this morning time and we were worshiping you by thinking that our Lord who was on the cross, the joy that was set before him, despised the shame and endured the cross. But that was all for our sake. We know that the life that you have given us and the redemption that you have given us, and you have cleansed our lives and made us as your children for a purpose in this world, to please you, Father. As we have gone through the life of Enoch and we have seen that the life that he lived on this earth that pleased you, Lord, help us so that we who are weak, we people who are living in this world, it's full of, there are a lot of temptations, where there are a lot of problems that we go through. Help us, in spite of all these things, help us to please you. All that we do, help us to have the intention only to please you, only to glorify you, only to give you the honor and glory. Strengthen us, O Lord. As we know that our Lord is going to come back soon, help us to make changes in our lives so that we may live a more acceptable life. Help us to believe that our God is an omnipresent God. Help us to continue to believe the fact that our God is a faithful rewarder of them that diligently seek you. Help us, Lord, we may live a life that is completely depending on you and a life that pleases you. We submit all of us into your precious hands. You help us all together. Give us your grace. We ask this prayer in and through the precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.